You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together.
Hello, everyone. This is Helen from the Mom Talk team. Have you ever wondered if you're teaching your kids everything they need to know about money? Are you considering starting an allowance or concerned that your child may be missing the point and spending their money like there's an endless supply? Well, today we're talking to the founder of 4piggies.com and the author of The Four Little Pigs, a financial values book for children. Through her book, Jeanette Ramnerine is teaching kids and their families the importance of good financial decisions. Welcome to Mom Talk, Jeanette.
Thanks.
Jeanette, I am like most parents today. I want my kids to learn about the value of the dollar, and each week I give them an allowance and hope that someday they will know how to save, spend, and give. At least that was my goal until I read your book, The Four Little Pigs. Unlike so many other books that teach kids and families about allowance and money management, this one is simple and filled with such colorful illustrations and a great message that even young children will get. And I think the story is one that you could read over and over and still learn from it. Why don't you share a little about each of your four pigs, the spending, saving, sharing, and that fourth one that caught me by surprise, the schooling pig.
Yeah, well, my husband and I, when we had children, it was very important that we wanted to be able to impart financial values to them, and it would be a really important lesson to kind of start teaching those values early on in their life. The reason why I wrote the book, The Four Little Pigs, was I went out to see if there was anything available at the bookstore that I could share, you know, with my children, teaching them financial values, and I found there was a lot of books out there telling parents different ideas and ways that you could go about teaching your children, but nothing that you could actually sit down and a picture book that you could share with them. So what we started doing with our children was when they turned 3 years old, we gave them four piggy banks, and we labeled the piggy banks with spending, sharing, saving, and schooling. And we gave them a weekly allowance when they started to turn three and divided the money between the piggy banks. Each different piggy bank has a separate purpose. The spending piggy bank is pretty much their pocket money. So if we were going to go to the dollar store, they could take the money out of that piggy bank and take it with them to the dollar store to maybe purchase things like stickers or a coloring book. My daughter likes to pick out hair accessories like barrettes and things like that, and my son likes to pick out little cars and stuff like that. The money from the saving piggy bank is something for a bigger purchase. So if they wanted to purchase something that maybe cost a little bit more money, they could save up for a few weeks to purchase something a little bit bigger that cost a little bit more. Money from their sharing piggy bank is money that they give back to society. So in some way, we figure out as a family how we can give that back to help others. And the schooling piggy bank, like you mentioned, is a new concept. When my children were born, we started an RESP fund for them to save for their education when they were done school. So the money from their schooling piggy bank goes towards their RESPs as a top-up on their birthdays each year.
Okay, so you mentioned about that you give these piggy banks to the kids on their third birthday. And in your book, you tell the little girl in the story that when she turns three, she is going to get a set of piggy banks as well. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the age that you would recommend starting an allowance?
I would recommend around that age. It's the age that they are kind of starting to get interested in sorting and counting and those kinds of concepts. The first year that we started with my son, Caleb, he was 3 years old, and we found that it was more of a novelty for him that first year. He really liked counting out the coins and sorting them out and dividing them up between the piggy banks. It was fun for him to be able to go to the dollar store as a little guy and be able to pick out what he would want, you know, to bring home and to be able to go up to the counter and use the money from his wallet there, from the money that he had from his spending piggy bank. So it was more of a fun thing for him. Now he's 6 years old and he really understands and gets the concepts behind the four piggy banks. But it's a really good age to start just because they're starting to get interested in counting and sorting and all those kinds of neat concepts. So it's a really fun way to introduce them to financial values.
So at three, they start with their allowance. I know at the very end of The Four Little Pigs, you have a little bit of a chart that helps parents to see how you can break down the money that you give to your child. And I know that you and many experts on the topic of allowance talk about maybe giving a child a dollar for each year of their life.
Right.
Now, some parents probably think, wow, that's way too much money, and others think that's reasonable. Is that where you would start with $1 per year? And then for those parents who might be wondering, you know, I don't think my five-year-old really needs $5 every week, what would the purpose of having that amount of money be when it comes down to splitting it up into the four banks and teaching kids about money management?
Yeah, I've been asked that question quite a lot. I like the idea of giving a child a dollar for each year of their life, simply because if you're using what we call the four piggies concepts, using these four piggy banks, you are dividing that amount between the four different piggy banks, and each bank has a separate purpose. So for them to be learning from the concept, there needs to be a certain amount of money that they're actually going to be able to use so that the concepts will work really well when using this. Really what we're doing with our kids too is, if you aren't giving your children an allowance and you happen to go out to the mall or to the dollar store and they asked for something and needed something, chances are you'd pull out your wallet and, you know, you would purchase it. What we're doing is we're just taking the responsibility of handling the money, and instead of us handling the money, we're allowing them to handle the money at a young age and use it to purchase the things that, if we weren't doing an allowance, we would be purchasing for them anyways. For an example, my son, he's going to be starting skating lessons soon, and he needed to have a helmet to be able to take to school with him to use for skating, and he doesn't have one right now. So we said, well, let's see what we've got saved up in your saving piggy bank, and maybe you have enough to purchase one. So we counted it up, and he's been saving for a couple months now, and he had about $30 saved up there. So we said, well, you probably got enough, and off we went to the store, and he picked out his own helmet that he can use for his skating practice when his school goes, and he was pretty proud of it and wore it around the house for the whole weekend. And so it's just neat little things like that that we're able to do, and he feels really proud of being able to make his own purchases and takes really good care of the things that he does purchase and buy.
I think that's great, because I think sometimes parents think that if they give the child the allowance, the kid is just going to go out to the store, buy some junk, bring it home. But by creating a savings space, they can contribute to something like a helmet for skating or something else that they might need in one of their activities.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly does make them feel good about their contribution as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the book and in life, we have what we often will refer to as found money, and that in the book, the parents let Caleb decide where he's going to put that money and whether he would divide it up into all of the piggy banks or if he was to just put it in one. Is that kind of your approach to found money, if they get money for a birthday,
mm-hmm.
Or if they actually find money, you know, a penny or a quarter or something on the ground? Would you suggest letting them decide where they're going to put it, or would you say, okay, we usually put 10% here and 40% here? Would you get them to continue to do a breakdown like that, or just choose what they want?
Well, any money that they find, as far as we're concerned, it's their money, and we let them make the decision where they're going to put it. Or if they're given money for a birthday from an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, again, we allow them to decide where they want to put that money. They're pretty good. They understand what each of the piggy banks is for. Each of them has its own color, and we talk about what each of them, the responsibility of that piggy bank is. So they're pretty good at trying to figure out what they want to do, and we never step in and say, okay, you've got this money or you found this money and it has to go into this one. Any money that is given to them or that they find is theirs to choose where they want to put that money. Now, I know it's kind of funny, because the schooling piggy bank, we've gone up to Queen's University with the kids in Kingston, and they've seen the campus for the university, so it was funny, because the first year, right after we did that trip and they got to see the campus, any money that they found went into their schooling piggy bank, because they just thought it was so cool that one year they might be able to, when they're older, go and learn and have an education at a big university or a college. And so all their money that they were finding, they were always putting it in their schooling piggy bank. But now it's more divided. Sometimes they want to put it into their sharing piggy bank because they want to, you know, help other people. Sometimes we might have a family event that we're going to do, like a movie night, and if they find money at the store, they under, you know, the little tills and stuff like that, they might want to put that money right into their spending, so they know that they're going to be able to use it pretty soon. So yeah, it's neat for them to be able to decide where they're going to put found money into.
And just backing up to the four banks, when you say hand a child $5 for allowance, do you have kind of a set of rules for how much goes into each jar, or does that change from one week to another?
No, we are pretty consistent with them the way that we've divided the money up between the four piggy banks. You mentioned the chart that I've put in the back of the book. Currently, our family is dividing the money between the piggy banks, and the chart goes from ages of 3 years all the way up until 8 years as far as how, you know, we'll divide the money with the kids there. And the reason we divided it that way is just because we knew that there were certain things that the kids would need or things that they would want to do, and thought that was probably the best way to divide it. But it's just, there's a guideline and an example for parents to use. Definitely there's other ideas and ways that they may want to divide the money, and that's fine too. It's just a guideline for families, and they can kind of divide it and work it the way that it's going to work best for their own family.
Good. Now, as far as allowance goes, I know there are so many opinions on how the kids earn their allowance. What is your feeling on the money that they receive? Is it money that they have earned, or is it money that you are giving them as more your responsibility as a parent in teaching them about financial decisions?
Well, by trade, I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for the last 13 years, and I've worked with children in the age groups of from 3 to 8 years old for the last 13 years. What I found is, you know, the best way to do it at being a teacher is I want to use it as a teaching tool. So we don't link it to chores or anything like that. Chores are something that we think is being part of a family. It's their responsibility to help out with the household, and they have certain jobs that they do around the home as well. But we don't link it to their allowance. Their allowance for us is simply a teaching tool, something that we're using to teach them about money and the way things work and how to be financially responsible with their own money. So we don't link it or hold it back any week. We use other forms of, you know, taking things away if responsibilities around the house aren't being carried out.
I think that's really good advice, because I do think that if you look at the state of the economy, that a lot of us adults or parents have maybe a little learning to do as well in terms of how well we manage our money.
Yeah, and I remember,
just learning is important.
And I remember one time hearing, you know, as a grown-up, you know, it's your responsibility when you get married, if you purchase a home, to take care of it. And, you know, the vacuuming, the dusting, all those things, cutting the grass that come along with it, it's not something that you're going to get paid to do as a grown-up. So as children, you know, we didn't want to start in the habit that they're getting paid to do chores around the house, because when you grow up and you're a grown-up, you don't get paid for doing those things.
Yeah.
You get paid for doing a job, and eventually when they're teenagers and they get a part-time job, you know, things will change a little bit in terms of how we handle an allowance with the children. But for now, at this age, we see a lot of benefits from using the four pigs, and, you know, with what they're learning and how financially responsible at 4 and 6 years old that they're becoming.
Right. So if the whole act is a lesson in money management, do you transfer that into what they actually spend their money on as well? Do you give them the money, they break it into the four piggies, and then when it comes to spending their spending money or using their saving money, do you kind of stand back and let them make their mistakes, or do you try to encourage certain types of purchases?
We have stood back and let them, you know, make their own mistakes. There's been lots of times when we've gone and, you know, one of the kids has wanted to buy something that we think, oh, that's going to break before we even get home. But we don't step in and say, no, you can't buy that because it's going to break. We've allowed them to make those purchases and learn on their own. And many times we've got home from the store and something's been broken. And our rule is that if something's broken in the house, we don't keep keep broken toys. Those go into the garbage. So if something does get broken or it gets wrecked, they've had to, you know, realize that, oh, you know what, maybe next time I'll think about the purchases that, you know, I make before. But my husband and I never step in and tell the kids that they can't make a purchase. It's always something that, you know, they have free will to decide what they want to purchase with their spending money. And same with their saving money. When my son went to buy the helmet, it's not necessarily the one if I was on my own I would have picked out for him, but it met all safety regulations. So, you know, he could go ahead and pick out and decide whatever one he wanted to buy as long as he had the right amount of money to be able to do it. So we always let them make their own decisions and their own mistakes. And if they do make a mistake and they're upset about something that they bought that is broken, we talk about it. And we talk about how things are made and the quality of goods. And maybe next time we'll look into it a little bit better before we just go ahead and grab the first thing on the shelf that we see. So they're learning a lot of lessons that way as well. But we never tell them that they can't buy something. It's always a choice that they make on their own.
Yeah, and I think most parents would want their kids to make a mistake with a $2 item instead of controlling every spending act, and then when they're 18 or 20 or 30, making choices and not having those lessons from the early years.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, a lot easier on some of the smaller purchases for them to learn by those than, you know, as an adult just going out and making an impulse decision on something that costs thousands of dollars rather than taking your time to really research and look into a bigger purchase before making it.
So, right.
Yeah.
And you as a parent can transfer some more lessons over when they purchase something that breaks or, mm-hmm. like you said, with the quality. And so these are things that they can continue to build on with each purchase so that once they start making the bigger purchases, they're making more informed purchases.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Of course, we all understand the concept of saving and spending, but when it comes to giving and you have like a set amount going into these piggy banks, what sort of things would you recommend parents encourage their kids to do when it comes to giving? Or, you know, what have your own children been doing with their sharing piggy?
Yeah, I can share some of the examples of what the kids have done with the money from their sharing piggy bank. The example that's used in the book, because the story was written on what Caleb, our son, has done with the money from his piggy bank, is we talk about how, you know, we're lucky to live in a country where, you know, we can afford to buy food for our children, but that not everybody that lives in our country can afford to buy just basic essential and needs for their family. So what we did was take our son to the grocery store, and he took the money from his sharing piggy bank, and we allowed him to pick out any non-perishable food items that he wanted with that money to be able to donate to the food bank for people in our area that, you know, just aren't able to afford to buy food and things like that for their family. So he picked out lots of really neat things. We let him pick out some packaged fruit snacks he said that he wanted to get for kids that, you know, maybe couldn't have those kinds of treats. And he picked out different cereals that he likes and thought maybe other families would like, and some canned goods and soups and things like that, some things like Elfagetti and all sorts of stuff. And then my daughter, she's really into animals, and we have a dog that we got from the Humane Society. So with the money from her sharing piggy bank, we went with her up to the pet store, and she took the money and she picked out all kinds of little dog treats and treats for the cats, and she picked out some food, and she picked out a few little toys and things like that that she wanted them to have. And then we took her up to the Humane Society, our local Humane Society, and she dropped off all those treats and goods for the animals at the Humane Society there. So there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of incorporate the sharing money. We also sponsor a little boy in Africa through Plan Canada, and the kids write letters back and forth to him, and he's in communication with them as well. He's 6 years old, and they understand that he doesn't have all the things that children in Canada do. There's lots of toys and, you know, neat things that they have that they know that he doesn't. So they've gone up to the dollar store and they've purchased stickers and coloring books and crayons and things like that that they were able to package and send to him. And they got a nice little letter back from him that he really appreciated those things that they were able to purchase and send to him. So there's a lot of really neat ideas in terms of the sharing money and how it can be used within your family. And every family has causes that are close to their heart that they support. And we feel it's important to talk to our children about that and how we can help out in our society. So the money from that goes to really good use, being able to sit down. And kids have awesome ideas. If you just sit down and ask them how you can help somebody else, they've got really, really neat ideas that can be incorporated using the sharing piggy bank.
I wanted to ask, because I know this is another area where there's a mixed opinion, how do you see things like cash, debit, credit? I know your book is geared towards children, you know, 9 and under, but you're really laying the foundation for them to grow up and continue to manage their money. I know some experts say, you know, kids shouldn't be seeing you using credit cards or debit cards because they really don't have a concept of where the money is within the plastic. Mm-hmm. So what is your approach for your own children, and what would your advice be to parents when it comes to cash and debit in them watching you? And also, at what point do you switch over if you are in favor of any of those other forms of payment?
Yeah, right now what's working best for them is to be doing just strictly cash, because obviously they're very young at this age. My husband and I, we do use debit and we do use credit cards, although we make sure that any purchases that are made on our credit card are paid off at the end of the month. What we've told the kids in terms of that when they see us using a debit card rather than cash is that mommy and daddy, we don't keep our saving money in a piggy bank. We keep ours in a bigger bank, and that the card allows us to take that money out of the bank, and that when they're a little bit older, we plan on starting when they turn 8 years old, and if they're ready, maybe around 7 years old, a bank account up with them. And at that point, we'll start introducing those concepts that instead of, you know, keeping our saving money in our piggy bank, now we can take it and we can actually put it into a bank account so they can see a statement of how much money they have. So that's the way we're planning on teaching them. As they get older, we'll start introducing those other concepts. But because they're doing the piggy banks, they do understand that, you know, mommy and daddy are older and we don't keep our money divided in piggy banks, and our saving money is kept in a bank, and that's what our debit card allows us to do. So
right.
We don't have to carry that money with us all the time.
So as your kids get older and as kids get older in general, making that transition probably makes sense. But say you have a child who is 12 and they're thinking, oh, I want to save for a car versus a bigger toy. You know, even adults have a hard time seeing one lump sum in, say, a bank account and know that some of it is for long-term saving. Not long-term in retirement saving, but long-term purchase saving, mm-hmm. and their spending. So, like, how would you set up a child who has transitioned over to, say, having a debit card, and then they have their pocket money and their saving money all in one place?
Yeah, at that point there, when they get a little bit older, like you said, around 12 years old, if they have a little part-time job or, you know, perhaps they're babysitting and they're making a little extra money on weekends, that kind of thing, the way that we want to transition them is start introducing them to things like mutual funds. So they would be putting a portion of their money into mutual funds, and at that point we'll start talking about interest and how interest is added to money so that your money grows a lot quicker than if you were just to set it into a regular bank account there. So once they, you know, decide that they want to make bigger purchases as teenagers and that kind of thing, so we'll start talking a lot more about mutual funds and even things like stocks and GICs with the kids. And we'll bring our financial planner in at that point so that she can explain as well to the kids different ways that they can use their money and save their money. So that's how we're planning on kind of handling that with them as they get a little bit older and they start wanting those bigger purchases to save up for.
Right. And now I know that your two children are the stars of the Four Little Pigs. Will we kind of see the Four Little Pigs grow up and see, like, as your children grow older and you have more information to share to them, will you transfer that into a book that will also help parents who have kids who are also growing?
Yeah, definitely. This has been a growing experience for my own family. And like you mentioned, the book is about my own two children, and I've written them into the story, and our illustrator did a fabulous job of capturing the likeness of our family and the kids in the illustrations. And I do plan on, you know, it's a learning lesson for us that we'll be sharing with other families as the kids are getting older, and what we're doing and how we're taking the Four Piggies concept and transferring it as they get into those ages where they can better understand and they can use other ideas like mutual funds and bank accounts and that kind of thing. On our website, we have information right now for parents that have children from the ages of 3 to 8. sheets with the four pigs. There's information on each piggy bank and how we're using it. And we're planning on expanding our website to have a blog there so that we can keep other families posted with what's going on with the kids and just have a sharing of ideas from families that are using this concept and, you know, maybe what their kids are up to and what their kids are purchasing and how they're using the four pigs.
Okay, so now I'm sure anybody who's been listening is thinking, where do I get four pigs?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us where parents can pick up the copy of the Four Little Pigs book and whether or not you have a set of piggy banks that they can use in conjunction with the book?
We do. We have a website. It's www.4piggies, FourPiggies.com. And on our website, the book is available for purchase. We do also have the four piggy banks available for purchase as well. And the piggy banks are the exact likeness of the ones that are in the book. We've even kept all details the same, right down to the font on the piggy banks is the same as the font that was used in the book, coloring and everything else. So the four piggy banks can be purchased online too. We also have a package deal where you can purchase the book along with the four piggy banks, so you can make the whole purchase and have the whole package all together and read through the story with your children and start it right away.
And it's a great idea for parents, but also for aunts, uncles, or grandparents who are looking for a unique gift. And it would be, you know, a really nice gift for a child, one that they're not even aware of when they receive it, but certainly a long-lasting type of a gift.
That's right. I recently did a speaking presentation for a group of financial women that were interested in financial planning. And a lot of them were probably in their 50s and 60s. And that's kind of how I geared that presentation towards them, was asked how many had grandchildren, and all of them raised their hands. And after speaking to them about it, some of them were saying, well, what you're really trying to do is just bring, you know, our grandkids back to the same values that our generation was really raised with, you know, values that like delayed gratification and that you can't have everything right away and that you need to save up. So that presentation did really, really well geared towards the grandparents there, because I think they really see the value of the book. And, you know, especially with the way things are going in today's economy, the value of being able to teach our young children about money and how important that really is.
So in closing, if you had to say one thing to parents with regard to teaching their kids about money, what would that be?
It would be to not be afraid and just to go ahead and to jump in there and do it. I don't think money should ever be a taboo subject. I think it's something that we should be open with our children about. And, you know, especially with the Four Little Pigs, it's a great tool to be able to sit down and have a cuddle with your child and read through the story of, you know, what our family has done and how our children have used the money. And, just don't be afraid to talk about it. Keep the lines of communication open and allow your children to be able to use the money. That's how we learn anything in life, is to be able to jump in there and actually be able to handle it and use it and to be able to do an experience.
And that's really great advice. Thank you so much for sharing the Four Little Pigs. We look forward to watching the pigs grow up and for more information to be shared with parents who have growing children. For more information on today's podcast, a link to 4piggies.com and information about allowance, please visit momtalk.com.
Thanks so much.